The Problem of Evil, Commentary for the February 15, 2025 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. With arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them. This is what the wicked are like. Always free of care, they go on amassing wealth. Psalm 73, verses 3 through 10 and 12. For anyone who has ever been to war, the problem of evil is a difficult one to write about. It is as old as the biblical book of Job, and it is as modern as today's headlines. Those with wealth and power to do so have covered the earth with oceans of blood from time immemorial. The powerless do their best to eke out an existence in a world that sees them as little more than chattel to be used up and cast aside when no longer useful. Often their poverty alone dispossesses them of any lasting foothold on the land. Their only usefulness defined by whether they can either be deployed as fodder for the weapons of war as the wealthy, safely ensconced behind multiple layers of security, send their legions into the meat grinder they themselves will rarely experience. Or they can be enslaved to produce the food, the clothing, and all the necessities to provide for an army goose stepping into battle. It is wealth that feeds the war machine, and the accumulation of further wealth is its goal. Wealth that can be transformed into military might is coveted by governments, corporations, churches, and even the poor covet it in the vain hope that they can overthrow those who rule. I say vain hope because even when successful, the downtrodden simply become the new oppressors. They have not learned any other way to live. Those who lived under the last of the czars in Imperial Russia saw this when the eventual outcome of the revolution brought Lenin and then Stalin to power. Despite losing millions in the existential battle for survival in World War II, Stalin continued to slaughter over 6 million more whom he deemed political enemies. The vanity of that can be seen when he joined his horde of victims as the Grim Reaper swung his sickle in his direction. What irony that a part of the hammer and sickle emblem of Soviet communism should be the only equality that exists, the equality of the grave. There's too much bloodshed in this world, too much forced fear, too much insecurity, all to feed the gluttonous few who have never learned that the idea of security in a world of haves and have-nots is ephemeral. Rulers amassing arsenals worth trillions of dollars have ended up losing their lives to bullets that cost only a few dollars. But even then, it is only hastening the already inevitable, for we all die, some sooner, some later, no matter whether we cannot even rub two coins together, or if we can swim through rivers of gold. The longer we live, the more aware we are of how short our lives are, and for some of us, we wonder what lies beyond. Some look at all the evil in this world and declare there is no God. If there were, he is either impotent or uncaring, and even evil himself. How else could he abide such widespread oppression and destruction if he had any empathy or compassion. The wealthy have little use for religion beyond using it as a tool for manipulation through fear. They love passages like Romans 13, verses 1 through 7, where the people are told to be submissive and pay their taxes, lest God use the wealthy and powerful to punish them. This is vastly different from the teachings of Jesus, who encouraged empathy, compassion, and even love for those who would be our enemies. To this end, even though I was in a war, I was a medic and did not carry a gun or seek to take life, but to preserve it. This used to be a widespread belief within the Seventh-day Adventist denomination, but it is no longer the case. It appears that as we have become a wealthy denomination with many millions of members, we have discovered that continued growth and prosperity of our denomination in this life is dependent upon denying access to that wealth and property to those who challenge our right to possess either. This is vanity. While it may discourage petty thieves and criminals, were we ever to be seen as an obstacle to the wealthiest and most powerful, we would lose it all, and we would fade back into the masses we had artificially elevated ourselves above, with a phony religious empire we created. As Jesus pointed out about the temple in Jerusalem, there is nothing enduring in this world. All will be eventually consigned to the flames. How foolish, then, to set our hearts upon such things, even more so when they make any ability to see beyond the misery as though all was opaque, and this pain, this darkness, was the only truth to humanity's existence. What a miserable lot ours would be if that were true. While there are those who deny that God exists or cares, He has actively intervened to provide hope for the future and a better life here and now. This intervention is referred to as light sent from God by the Apostle John. He tells us that light shone into the darkness of our world, but we had lived so long in darkness, we did not see it for the freedom it represented, and rejected and hid from it. It seems strange that given the misery of the world, people would nonetheless find security in that misery. But they do. Like a continually abused pet cat or dog, they have been conditioned to live in fear, distrusting anything new or different like love and compassion. Hope has been torn from them so many times, they do not believe that it can ever be trusted. They have been kept in fear for so long because those who keep them there can easily manipulate them through their fears, often to do things, even horrible things, they would never do otherwise. When I went through basic training in the Army, the instructors had the goal of making the recruits fear their leaders more than the enemy. Else they would not charge into battle because their fear of death would override their willingness to engage. The abuse by the drill instructors would never be tolerated by the parents in a normal family home, but in the military, it was intentionally part of the program. Even religion was bent to this purpose when in the base chapel on Sunday, we were encouraged to kill commies for Christ. With the perversion of religion bent to such a sickening purpose, it becomes clear why so many want nothing to do with religion. Religion fixates on building empires here on earth. Those empires are defined by numbers of converts, buildings, and billions of dollars of wealth. But God has already provided for us. We've been conditioned by this world to believe that our worth is only determined by what value we can provide to the wealthy and powerful. So we figure we must prove our worth by building a kingdom for God here and now. Then God will have to accept us as His and return to rule His kingdom. We cannot envision that God would provide for us simply because He loves us, even though we are living in opposition to Him because of our fear of doing otherwise. But He demonstrated exactly that on the cross, according to Romans 5, verse 8. Some feel that God is uninvolved with the problem of evil on the earth. But how much greater involvement can one give than to lose their life to offer something better. If a mother gave up her life so that her child might live, would we say that mother was indifferent or uncaring for her child? But we say that about God, despite the blood-stained pieces of wood that stood on a hill outside of Jerusalem that testified otherwise. Living a life of fear is living a life in slavery, because those with evil intent will use that fear to manipulate us to do their bidding. It is the reason that billions have been spent on guns in the United States for fear that someone or something is coming to get us. Ironically, we cry out against taxation that provides us all with services we benefit from, but we willingly submit to this voluntary taxation that we think will free us from fear. Sadly for some, if asked how many guns they think would make them feel safe and no longer fearful, the answer is, one more than I have now. Once we succumb to fear, it never seems to leave us. But God promises to set us free, not to be manipulated by self-aggrandizing religious leaders and the fear of punishment they impose, but free indeed in the glorious liberty of the gospel, according to John 8, verse 36. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary, as well as hundreds more commentaries and podcasts, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can find many more articles and also links to books by the author at that website. Once again, it's www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.